three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. Recording this Wednesday, 15th of February at about 3:30 in the afternoon on the East Coast. Very excited to have you with us. My name is Joseph. I'm joined by Andrew Canyon. He'll make himself known in a second. What are we talking about today? We're basically breaking down all the teams that didn't make the finals. Then we're breaking down those two bigger play-in games, Perth and Southeast Melbourne, Perth and Cairns. And then we're going to talk about the semi-final series upcoming, which actually start tonight at 7:30 on the East Coast, I want to say. But more importantly than all that stuff is Andrew Canyon.
Here I am, Joseph Corr. We're heading into the home stretch of the NBL 22-23. Mm. We're getting there. We should be getting pumped up, right?
We should be getting Are you pumped? Be honest.
I'm a little flat, Joe, and I don't know why. I don't know why that's the case. I should be getting excited. I think there's a problem of likability with the current teams.
Ooh, go on.
Well, you've got the Kings who seem to be like league trolls. Mm-hmm. We've got Cairns Taipans, the plucky upstarts.
Plucky homophobes, yep. Too much? No, I'm exaggerating, but you know, it was that left a sour taste in people's mouths. Come on.
You've got Jack Jumpers without one of their prime movers.
They're the worst to watch.
And then you've got New Zealand Breakers who are
ground and pound.
I'm trying to muster enthusiasm for the showcase part of the season, but it feels like it's just moving towards an inevitable conclusion anyway. So that's the other. I'm not seeing upsets.
Oh, I mean, I don't want to bury the lead or ruin the surprise, but I don't think any team left is even a prayer against Sydney.
Yeah,
not even close. Their defense is good enough and their offense is far superior to these players. I think they're going to need a lot of luck and touch wood and injury or something terrible like that, which would not be fun to watch anyway.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at.
And Joe, the other thing, this is what's brilliant about this show compared to any of the other league produced stuff where they're just pumping out the content constantly and everything is an amp up. The league is like pumping its own tires. We are here, independent NBL Pocket Podcast, giving you the honest truth of how we're feeling. We're saying, we're kind of going through the motions at the moment. Let's just get it moving. So I don't know if are we reflecting the thoughts of the fan? I don't know. You tell us. But
don't bother getting at us on Twitter. Get us on Mastodon. Give us a toot. Let us know how you feel. I think to defend the guys at the league office, they're there to pump. They're not there to dump.
It's their business.
Money's in the pump. That's the business.
Yep.
People who have the expectation that they're going to carve out a hole in their own product, I mean, come on, this is not going to happen. But I think they do a good job of advertising to the sort of 12 to 25-year-old who just want the excitement of it. And I get all that. That's a good consumer, a good product. We give a product to the scumbags out, the NBL scumbags. And you know what? We're all in the pigsty together, and that's a good place to be. Before we jump into any NBL finals and breakdowns, Hammer, Shane Heal and the Flames.
Yeah,
you've seen the media release and stuff. We'll jump on this quickly. I put out a tweet that was rather cryptic. You wouldn't have seen it because you're on Mastodon.
Tooting
yourself. I just said it's very unbecoming when a larrikin lets a lawyer do his talking. And it was more in relation to the club than Heal himself, but kind of both. They're both going the litigation route.
Yep.
Have you read the media release? If you have, can you explain it for people?
Oh, look, I read it. I don't even know if I read the media statement. I read a screenshot from Twitter that was kind of cropped, so I didn't even get the whole thing because I kind of don't have the energy to follow it. It's like following two tossers, and I really don't have time to do either.
Wow.
Is that too hard?
Yeah, it's fine.
Like Shane Heal, like he's always been a problem child. He's had legal issues in the past. I don't think he can lie straight in bed. Is this Am I now going to get done for? Am I going to be taken to court now for saying these things?
If I could just jump in, just to save you a little, maybe. Everything's alleged. There's bullying claims. Heels out the job. He's seemingly countersuing to delay the findings. That's the rumor, to delay findings of what's going on. Here's the thing. I've got lawyers in the family. I'm happy to be sued. I'd quite enjoy it. It'd be a fun adventure. I don't have to pay anyone.
But then you've got Paul Smith on the other side, who also is already in legal action with Karen Dalton around the Flames.
Yeah, right.
So there's a bit of smoke there as well.
He's regretting buying that one. Whoa, it's like, been nothing but trouble.
Just between the two of them, it's hard to find out. I'm not getting a sense of a clear good guy, bad guy narrative.
No.
I'm getting two kind of ordinary people going at each other.
Here's where I'm going to – we'll cauterize it on this. And we hope it all ends out well. I just hate it when two people go to litigation. The lawyers win. That was a bill for their time, sit on it, waste, delay. It's just a waste of time. Mm. You know, and what's Hammer's aim? I hope he gets on with the show and the daughter's career is rescued and so on and so forth. And Paul Smith is obviously the focus is the Kings. And just why sue each other? So peculiar. But the greater problem for me is this. Hammer gets hired. Not the worst coach in the world, certainly not the best. Is he the best man for the job? Or woman?
Probably not.
But gets it because Boomer and, you know, the retired Paul Smith, oh, I get to hang out with Hammer. That'd be kind of fun. And, you know, ooh. And that's the problem I have with the Kings. All you had to do was Google Shane Heal and go, oh, okay, there's a few kind of red flags there. Maybe we'll just go a more considered route. But, you know, they went for it. And, you know, the rumors I've heard is Paul Smith had the final gavel mark on the hire and now they're suing each other. It's a shit show is what it is.
Is Shane Heal still considered one of the is he still on the legends wall at the Sydney Kings in the stadium?
Oh, you'd have to. He's a great player. He played a lot and won two championships, I believe. So he's on there.
So would they take it down?
No, you can't do that. I can separate the player from post-career.
Can Paul Smith?
Paul Smith can do whatever he needs. He owns the team. He could just disband it tomorrow. Who cares? He can take it over. So that's all I have to say about that is Sydney Kings, just hire the best man or woman for the job.
Yeah.
With the job in mind.
Yeah.
Not everything else. And I think that's where they've fallen flat. Let's jump on.
I'm waiting for a lawyer's letter now. I feel like I'm in trouble.
Can I just say Albie? I had a bet, $100 bet with Albie. Hopefully he's listening. Paid out. I was like, no, give it to charity. He actually put it through the Patreon, so that can go to our legal fees. or we'll go to the irony would be, get that lawyers that sponsors, Bryden lawyers
Brydens.
That sponsors. Yeah, no win, no fee. Oh, dear. Southeast Melbourne. I got to talk about this. They get bumped out by Perth.
Yeah.
I had a question for you in my email, and I don't have it up. I'm about to get it. Choke of a season?
Yeah, so your question, I'm just looking here. You said,
as am I.
Well, he said, you're talking about Mitchell. Should Mitchell return? Is that the one?
Let's go with that. You've seen the season. We've all seen them bail out. It's another year where they kind of failed to meet expectations, you would think. Yep. Is he coming back?
I don't think he should.
Yep.
I think he's been there since the start. He's set a good foundation. He's not been able to push through that next level. Yep. And I think there just becomes a level of complacency with any coach and player an organization, they kind of become too familiar with one another and it doesn't have, the words don't have the same impact. So I think you just need to mix it up. And I think changing out from Simon Mitchell would be a good move. Get a guy with some runs on the board, somebody that can be impactful in a different way. Simon Mitchell, ultimate, like, lovely guy.
Amazing guy.
A fun guy to talk to. I got no issues with him personally. I just think they need a fresh voice.
Hmm. So you think he shouldn't return? Do you think he will?
It's tough, isn't it? Like the players seem to really like him. They seem to have rallied around him a little bit from what I saw. Tommy Greer and him are good mates.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm tempted to say that he will return.
I think he's coming back.
Mm.
But not because it's the right move, as you say. To blow an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter and give up 41 points.
Yeah.
What do you think of the move to bring him Brokoff late over Turungi, who had played a hell of a game? And here's the thing. Mitchell showed balls on either occasion because one occasion is taking out a player who's kind of playing okay but hasn't got the runs on the board and bringing in Brokoff, who had played poorly that game or very little that game, bringing him in. He's got to explain to either player leaving him out. If it's Brokoff, it's, hey, you're hurt and you weren't playing. I went with Turungi.
Yep.
And Turungi, it's, hey, you're hot. but I got to go with what I know. Both is really hard to speak to either player. What do you think of that move?
Well, I think a Ruben Tarangi hot game is a rare thing indeed, and I think you've got to milk it for all it's worth. He was damaging out there, and I think you compare his compare Simon Mitchell's coaching, conservative, go with the guy with the reputation and the name and the salary to go with it in Ryan Brokhoff, compared with John Riley, who said, I'm watching the game, I'm seeing it unfold, I'm seeing who the hot guys are, and I'm just going to leave them to it. And I thought that was a real interesting contrast.
It was amazing. It was an amazing contrast and very emboldened contrast. Black, white, of one guy doing one thing, one doing the other. And to sit both the Websters, who I think one has now already signed in Israel, I want to say, that was bold. That was very, to the whole fourth quarter, to sit two starters.
Yep.
Very bold. Very bold. Put out a tweet. Corey Webster didn't care for it. You saw that?
I saw it. See, some things travel, and when you get called out by a Webster, that stuff gets around. What did he say to you again?
To sit the whole fourth quarter. And listen, I'm kind of on the Webster side here, where they're good players, and to not play the fourth is, if I was a player and I got sat for the whole fourth in an elimination game, I'd be pissed.
Yep.
I'd be saying, okay, you don't want me for the fourth today? Well, maybe you won't get me quarters 1 through 4 tomorrow.
Well, that's exactly what Ty Webster said.
Well, he was ill. I mean, I will ask the question to the people listening. How ill do you have to be to, you know, I'm not saying he wasn't, but how ill do you have to be to sit out an elimination basketball game? That's what you live for.
Yep.
I'm not saying he wasn't ill, but he must have been pretty damn ill, is all I'm saying. Just going back to Mitchell, though, here's the thing with me. I want to ask you this question, Canyon, and people listening. Are the South East Melbourne Phoenix better than what they finished on paper? Like, they finished sixth because, you know, the Wildcats jumped them for fifth.
Yeah.
Are they the sixth best roster in the NBL? They're not better than Sydney. Do you think their roster is better than New Zealand?
No.
Do you think their roster is better than Tasmania?
No. Like, maybe the only, yes.
And then the other one is Cairns? Roster's probably better than Cairns.
Roster's better than Cairns, yeah.
And then it's on a par with, you would say it's, is it better than Perth?
Yes.
You think it's better than Perth?
Yep. Ooh. Yep, I do.
Yeah, Crete, Cotton don't cross each other out, but they're pretty close. And then the rest, the other pieces, yeah. So then, so you're saying the result is bad. I would dare say they've got a better, would they have a better roster than Melbourne? I don't think so.
Maybe. They might too.
I'll just say this. This is what I think about Mitchell, and this is the problem as I see it. Got three names here: Adnam, Brokhoff, Foxwell.
Yeah,
and I bring up Adnam because the decision a while ago, and this is where we talk about Tommy Greer friendly with Mitchell, and are they going to move on and kind of take that next step with their franchise, or just, you know, clubhouse and it's friendly and all right, we'll roll back the dice and see how it goes. Adnam, the year that he was out of contract, as well as Liafa, I think it's well established that Liafa's the better player.
Yeah,
and all you have to do is look at Adnam's last couple of performances and performance against Perth. We knew it. They went with Adnam because where's Adnam from?
He's the local boy. Horses. Yeah.
Wherever he's from. Southeast Melbourne, let's call it. Brokhoff. Tarangi or Brokhoff? Went with Brokhoff. Where's Brokhoff from?
Southeast Melbourne.
Foxwell was defending Cotton at the end of the game, not Cal, from what I could see for most of it. Now, maybe I want to watch the tape again. If I'm wrong about that, I apologize. But Foxwell and Cotton, you know that the strategy is size on Cotton. Now, maybe there was screens and they were switching off. I really can't recall, but at the time I was like, oh, Foxwell. Interesting. Where's Foxwell from? South Melbourne. And I'm just like, you got to get out of that compass. And for that reason, if I'm the owner of that team, I'm thinking, Mitch, you've done a great job to get us to this precipice. It's not easy to go from a new team to quite good. And now it takes a little something else. So they got a tough call. Tough call. It's going to be a tough meeting.
They do. The other thing I'll say about Southeast Melbourne is I think they pumped up their imports big time. Gary Brown, Trey Kell. Like, we thought they were God's gift from all
Kell,
the reports.
Kell, I thought especially, was a thumbs down. Gary Kell, Brown, yeah. I've got more time for, but...
Yeah. Brown was okay. And they were crueled by injuries. That's fair enough. But, Trey Kell, like, just absolutely mediocre.
Just not there, and what you want out of him is a bit of scoring and defense on some top level guys, and I just didn't see it in that game. I didn't see it all year.
No.
Let's jump on. Melbourne. I just want to bring up a stat here about Melbourne, because you would call it a failed season. They finished seventh.
Yeah, it's good end to the season, but didn't quite.
Unfortunately, yeah,
just the first half. First half let them down.
Would you blow up that roster? The reason I ask is when Illy was healthy, he played 13 games. They went 10-3. That's a win percentage of 77%. If he'd played all year by that metric, they're winning 21-22 games, mm-hmm. and at top of the league. Blow up that roster. Obviously, it's a failed season. They didn't make the finals, but blow it up. Irredeemable roster or a few tweaks?
Probably a few tweaks, actually.
Yeah, I concur.
Contracts aside, I would honestly be looking to move on from Humphreys.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I just don't get it. Bad year. Had a lot on his plate. I can sympathise, but
another bad year. And how many bad years has he had now? Yeah, you know, he starts off in a blaze of glory and then gets injured and then sort of has a bit of mood problems. Seems like he sort of has mental battles sometimes on the court. Yeah. Just like they've proven that you bring in a guy like Marcus Lee, no nonsense, low maintenance, just gets the work done.
Mm.
Yeah, perfect.
This is the greater arching question I had as well. The stat has been brought up that the top four teams remaining are the top four defenses in the league, which is a good stat, but also, you know, Sydney's the top seed and they didn't finish top of defensive rating. So it is some metric, but not entirely. Mm-hmm. What I want to ask is a greater measure of NBL success less bigs and switchy fours and movement out to the perimeter and a bit of stretch? Because that's what Cairns got. That's what Sydney's got with Cooks. New Zealand, less so. Jack jumpers have got McVay. They play a bit small and, you know, is that the greater measure or is the defense the greater measure? And you're right.
That's a really good point, Joe. And I think I'm going to accept your leading question and say, the big center is not that important anymore. They still have a small role to play, but yeah, the switchiness is really helpful. Hmm. Interestingly, I think about Perth, who didn't really have either. Their five man Thomas wasn't really that big, wasn't rim protection, but he couldn't switch out. He couldn't hit a three ball. He was a bit of a tweener in a big man sense. So they failed in twice.
I actually quite like Thomas. I saw a tweet from Worthington. He was like, I quite like Thomas too. He had a lot of responsibility. I think if you pair him up with someone different to Manic, I think he's a better player for it.
I think he's a power forward. He needs a center next to him. They were trying to play him a center all year. I didn't like it. But now back to Melbourne. I would bring Tucker back if I could.
Same.
I don't think you're going to get much better out there. Seems like he figured it out in the second half of the season. You have, assuming Illy comes back, although he may have to retire. He may have to go Matt Knight
style.
They
need point guard. Let's say he comes back. Even still, you need insurance on that. So
yep.
Is there a local who fills that spot? Who cares? So that's for them to work out.
Yep. And they need something. I don't know if you can back in another season of Chris Goulding as your main guy. I'm not sure about.
He had a great year. But that's the problem.
Yeah.
When your best local's out. I mean, that was the problem I had sort of. Newly kind of played okay, looked old, but played okay. Pete Ling didn't really take a step. Humphreys took a step back.
Yeah. They got Aquera was probably showed a bit, but yeah.
Not a lot of mine. Let's jump on. Adelaide, right. Very quickly. Bruton or the team, who do you blame?
Can I blame both?
You cannot.
Okay. I'll blame the team.
Concur. I agree. I didn't like their construction.
What didn't you like about it, Joseph Corr?
I think Franks is a bit of smokes and mirrors. Good player, can stat well, but I don't see the winning hoops. Cleveland I like a lot.
Yep.
But they just had Johnson and Franks, and I thought people are just going to 1-2-3 step this team for layups and Sotter, and exactly what happened in my eyes. And then the other thing is, you know, they're a 3-and-D team that didn't really hit threes and didn't really play a lot of D. So
it's not a recipe for success, is it?
No, the threes especially, they were sixth in percentage. So, and that's where they basically finished.
Yeah. And they brought Ian Clark in, didn't really move the needle, did it? No. And I'm going to have maybe a controversial point here. Mm-hmm. I think any team led by Mitch McCarron is not going to have enough from that position.
I mean, Melbourne, they won the chip with him, didn't they?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's a bold statement without backed up by evidence. But I don't know, he just seems like he never quite does enough. I feel like he's always in third gear.
Ooh. I mean, his stat lines were poor, but I quite liked watching him play this year. I didn't have a huge issue with his play, but I just felt he was such an odd match with that team where he kind of wanted to play D and no one else did. I didn't get him on the team. I haven't for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think.
So it'll be, if Adelaide's going to be fun to watch though, because they're going to have to make some pretty significant changes, aren't they? After they spent so much money, they've got the local crowd behind them at the moment. So you don't want to kill that momentum. Yeah, the crowd
numbers were massive.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's do Brisbane and Illawarra together. I'm going to ask a question when I say about these two teams, because we could break down how bad their roster is, the coaching, the lack of spend, the sort of the weight. This is their anchors on the NBL table and schedule. Are they viable basketball markets? Let's go Brisbane. Yes or no?
They should be. Yeah, they should be a viable
market.
They
should be viable.
But they're so bland. There's nothing. There's no identity to Brisbane.
They don't spend. And now they've had this bad season. Who's going to want to go there? And this is the thing. Everyone's talking about expansion. I'm like, there are two teams on the roster, on the schedule, who are crap in a league where there's no draft and no incentive to lose. Why are they bad?
And I heard Jason Kadee on one of the NBL podcasts saying, actually, you wouldn't know it, but the team got along really well and it was nice to hang out with them.
Yeah, right.
Come on, mate. None of that reconciles. Happy families and...
Ask James Duncan whether they got along. Ask him. He'll give you the... I don't think that's true. Maybe some of them got on, pockets of it, but not on the whole. Illawarra, viable basketball town? I'm saying no. I'm jumping in on the question. I'm saying that. It's too small. It's not working. They go from boom to bust every year, and they're just a drag on the comp.
Agree.
Move this team to Canberra. Move it to Newcastle. Move to Sydney. Try something. It's over.
Yep. Everything about Illawarra is ugly. Their game this year was ugly. Their stadium's ugly.
Yuck.
I don't know. What else is it about
the Illawarra? Hawks, if your season goal was to bring the vomit to the tip of my tongue, mission accomplished. Let's jump up. We talked about Southeast Melbourne and Perth. Yep. Cairns and Perth.
Yes.
Yeah. We talked about Webster. He sat it out with illness. Again, I ask you, how ill does a player have to be? Not saying anything, just asking the question.
I know all the efforts they went to get him qualified for the playoffs. You know, they suited him up for a game where he didn't really play because he had a dodgy leg. All of that just to be sick in an elimination final.
And not travel.
Odd.
Strange.
Very odd.
Eerie.
Didn't seem sick at the end of that fourth quarter and against Southeast. So I don't know. And nobody's really asking the questions. Everybody's just going like,
that's always my suspicion.
You're sick. Okay.
Ill.
Mm.
Anyway, so the actual game, Cotton turned into it. My thought was this. Here's the difference between this game. Much like it was Perth and South Melbourne, Cairns had a strategy. We're going to turn Cotton into a passer.
Yep.
And it worked. I didn't see any discernible strategy on DJ Hogue. I don't know. Did you see anything? I didn't see a heck of a lot. He just caught it and shot it. Yes, he was on fire a bit, but going under screens on him, letting him catch it, even from a little bit further out, but you know, no sort of denial. Nothing.
He got it wherever he wanted, inside, getting layups and one continuations. There was the time he hit that long three from the Kmart logo.
Mm-hmm.
Manic was out there. How do you not know the scout on a guy like DJ Hogue?
Yeah.
He's got confidence. He's feeling good about himself. He will shoot that ball. And yet
that's not great range to me either.
No, it's like a little bit beyond NBA, right? For a guy
not
like
even.
That.
That's nothing.
Like, the apathy of the defensive effort was just, it was.
And no, but not just the effort for me. It's the thought. It was a thought crime to be, all we have to do is shut down Hogue. All they had to do was, he was their best player. And really on the court with Pinder out and McCall, that's the guy.
Yep.
And it just didn't, the focus they had for Cotton was just not mirrored on Hogue. And, you know, like, don't let him catch it. Just sit on his pocket. Yeah. If he backdoors you, okay, so be it. Let Thomas or someone else step up. But don't just let him catch it in rhythm wherever he wants it. I was embarrassed for them.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to try and do this. And then when they didn't execute it, he didn't change it. He didn't bring someone in. He didn't choose someone out for not doing it. It was, as you say, apathy and lethargic, and they went down in pretty embarrassing fashion.
It was a delightful microcosm of the entire season. So when they do their season review, the Wildcats, they actually don't need to go through the game tapes of all the games to realize what went well and what went badly. They can just show that one game. Oh, yeah. Look, no interior defense, allowing teams to have layups, no real effort in defense, and sort of singular dimension offensively.
Mm.
So,
and when Wagstaff is, I thought he outplayed both Travis and Manic.
Mm.
Bad sign. Guy's yep. like late 30s. Not a good look. Good for him, but not so much. Travis about, all year up and down like a yo-yo. What was your
yeah.
question?
Yeah, I was going to say, what about the Taipans though? Like, what do you make of them? They just got through this Wildcats team without McCall, without Pinder.
Well, and there's Harpy, if he's listening, the Harp man, puts it best. Arcane's better without McCall. I think there's some strategy to that. They looked so spacey and switchy and tall and long. They really had the answer for Cotton. Cotton still had his numbers, but they knew where and when Cotton was going to be effective. They were never surprised like Southeast Melbourne were. Southeast Melbourne were totally choked it up, totally
yep.
bemused, lost, wide-eyed, deer in the headlights. This team was like, okay, he's hit a tough shot. We knew we were forcing him to do that. Oh, he's made a nice pass. Yep, we knew he was going to do that. So I really commend them on that. Ford runs this team. He was screaming on the sideline. He babysat the team. They're a young team. They're capable of being scattered. He doesn't let it happen.
Mm.
And that's sort of, I think, a lot of the other coaches. I mean, you look at Gleason when he coached. Very good coach, great reputation. He was like a babysitter. He's screaming, making sure every possession counted. Other coaches just kind of stand around, arms folded. They've got the luxury of a great team and they take care of themselves. But Ford, I really commend him. I think he does a really good job. And here's a point I wanted to make before, but I forgot, between Southeast Melbourne and Cairns. Now, there is a difference because the game was in Melbourne when Southeast Melbourne got eliminated, and obviously Cairns was up in Cairns, and most of the NBL media is in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. But that presser with Mitchell went for 25 minutes. The presser with Cairns, after they had lost, Ford went for 9 minutes. Now, there's extenuating circumstances, but that's what I'm getting at. Ford, we lost because of this, 1, 2, 3, and I'm out the door. In huddles, we want to do this, that, and the other. Go away and do it. Mitchell, not to dump more shit on him, but that presser just went everywhere. It had bumper stick advice and, like, you know, believe what you want, do what you can, you know, all those sorts of things. And I want to make a funny comment. Well, but I think it's funny. Mitch Creek is kind of like a drunk at the bar. He when he answers questions, and bless him, he's a good guy. But he'll do this, you'll ask him a question, and he'll start out telling you how much he loves you and then quickly how much he hates you and what he's going to do to you. So it'd be like, Bryce played great. He's a really good player, really, really amazing player. And if you don't think so, you should bash your head in and bleed out and rub salt in the wound and then you're dead. And then, but, you know, Bryce is great. It's, you know, like, oh, love you, mate, love you. Oh, I fucking hate you. There's this is weird, like, white-knuckled tension with him in press. what the feck were we talking about? Perth. Yeah, so that was my takeaway from Cairns.
Wow. Yeah, that
tangent.
That's a heck of a rabbit. that in itself was just a Mitch Creek press conference right there.
That's why I sympathize with him. I'm not putting him down. Brother in arms. The travel also got to Perth badly. Melbourne back. They looked exhausted from the end of the first quarter.
So yep.
Anything else to add? Or are you done?
No, I'm just like, as a guy from Perth, grown up watching the Perth Wildcats, I'm really happy this season is over for them because this entire season's been a bit of an abortion.
Yep.
Problem from the start. It was identified by people in the know from the start of the season. Oh, look, this team can't play defense. This team can't rebound. And they did nothing about it all season. They wasted a year of prime Bryce Cotton. Mm, well done, Perth management.
Looking forward at Perth, they had that sort of breakdown really in Mills in the press conference. Did you watch it? Did you care? Did you take anything from it?
The only thing I watched was Nick Tan's supercut.
Amazing people. I've retweeted it on Twitter. Have you sent that around Mastodon?
Oh, yeah. It's flying around Mastodon, good. All over the place.
All right. Good to know.
They're loving it.
I want to say this. Let's look forward for Perth quickly. Contracted. They've got Ty Webster on a mutual deal.
Okay.
Blanchfield, they've got contracted. Harris on a team deal, which they'll probably pick up. Cotton, they've got contracted. Norton, Zunich, and Corey Webster on a mutual deal. So they're essentially uncontracted.
Mm.
I'm just going to say, give you these names. You tell me yes or no whether you'd bring them back. If you're leaning towards, go no.
Okay.
Thomas.
No.
Travers.
Yes. You're not going to get a better local.
That's very true. And you do bring him back. But, gee, that's going to be an interesting negotiation.
Yep.
He's done nothing to improve his brand.
No, he hasn't.
Nothing.
No.
So I'd be like, well, you want more.
He's only second round, like NBA. Like he's not going to the NBA.
Yeah, but he's just not a good player. It's just so up and down. How can you get any? He's up and down like a yo-yo. Anyway, you've said no. Let's move on. Manic.
No.
Shervel.
No.
Ooh. Wagstaff, if he wants to come back.
No.
I agree. Just free up the money and see what else you've got. And if really is only going to play six guys, you know, concentrate. Yep. Make a high concentrate. I agree with most of that, if not all of it. Either of the Websters?
No.
Corey, I'd have a look at. He had a good year, man.
He did have – Corey was really good, but I feel like it's just hard for him and Cotton to coexist. Like – In a well-structured team. Like, he can help out, but he can also just get too black hole-ish. His defense is average at best.
He just can't. I mean, that Southeast Melbourne game, people were crying out for it, and then Cotton got the ball and they won it in the fourth. Yeah. Listen, I'm not going to debate anything there. Moving on.
Yeah. Moving on. Okay.
Do you want to do Cairns versus Sydney first or Tasmania, New Zealand?
Well, let's do Cairns Sydney, seeing as that's the one that's about to happen.
Good call in a couple of hours. Let's look at the thing. During the course of the season, 2-1. Two wins, one loss to Cairns. Cairns won this season series, winning twice in Sydney.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. Adam Forder said he wanted this team. He wanted Sydney. I mean, imagine if they still had him as coach. Anyway, that was an odd departure. Who wins and why?
I think Sydney win just by the fact that they'll be more well rested. They have a deeper team and they shouldn't be afraid of the moment.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I think the space and the 10 to 20 easy points on offer from Perth won't be there for Cairns.
Yep.
Perth are not a good team compared to Sydney. Sydney are fractionally methodical in what they do.
Yep.
Also, my question is, with McCall either out or hurt, who takes Cooks?
Exactly, yeah. And with Pinder out, who takes Cooks? You know, it's the same sort of argument, isn't it?
Yeah, good call. And even McCall's no real substitute. So with those two things up in the air, do you think Cairns will get a game?
No.
Just 2-0 sweep.
Clean sweep. Just get it done. Yep.
Interesting. I think Cairns can win a game, but I don't think they will.
Cairns need to have one of those games where everybody gets hot, you know.
Yeah.
Bull Qual starts knocking them down. Hogue carries on. Yeah, McCall even might chip in and do some of his crazy offensive moves. And then they could win one. But a lot's got to go right.
I can just see Cook shutting down Hogue. He's going to sit on his pocket, not let him catch it, force him one direction, and Hogue's just not going to beat you off the dribble for me. And I can just see him getting a few steals. Cook's getting a couple of dunks. They're too good.
No, yeah.
Moving on. Let's not even bother. Last one, Tasmania, New Zealand. We've already had one game in this series. New Zealand won it by 20-some points. Was this the worst game of the season? I think pretty close. It was unwatchable.
Yep. Yep.
Brutal. I think this casual fan took a fucking big loss on that one.
This is the end of the road for Tassie, I think. They do one worse than they did last year.
Especially with Majette out. They just didn't look good at all.
Nah.
No. I've just got here. JJ's have no answer for Brantley. He had a bad game, 2-12, but they've got no answer for Pardon either. 15-9, 75%. They're just too big. And those guys are sprightly too. Like Brantley will get out and run, and Pardon's real strong and real fast. There is no answer for those guys. So you feel the same way?
I do, yeah. You don't know. Like they have so many potential contributors in New Zealand, and it's like whack-a-mole. You know, which one of them is going to get you this time? Jack Jumpers, you kind of know what they're going to bring, you know, and I just don't think they have enough. I think there'll be some moments of brilliance from
Scotty Roth.
Yeah, like he'll do something crazy in coaching wise. They'll have what's his name? I've forgotten his name now. My mind's blanking.
Doyle.
Thank you. Sorry, Milton's mum. Milton's mum's going to be angry at me.
Queen of Spades. Queen of Hearts. Queen of the deck.
I'm not on Twitter anymore, you know. Yeah.
What's our Mastodon handle? Go ahead, keep going.
He'll do some spectacular stuff, but it won't be enough. Just New Zealand too strong across the board. So I'm going to say they win game two. And so we've got two clean sweeps going into a best of five. final.
Yeah, so then we've got Sydney and New Zealand.
This might give me pause for a bit. I might actually go back and watch a game of theirs in the past. What do you think?
Yeah, look, if it's New Zealand are the team best able to match up against Sydney.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be a competitive series.
I think it'll be hard fought. I don't think it'll be competitive.
Okay.
I think it'll be hard fought. Much like last year's finals were hard fought. It wasn't competitive.
Mm, yeah.
I see one team that's like scrounging to get to the top of the pile by dragging others back. And that's New Zealand, where they're just, we're going to drag you down. Whereas Sydney, I feel like they've got real basketball talent.
Yeah. Watch out. Modi Mayor will get angry with you if you suggest that they are a scragging team.
Yeah, I can't fault that description. I really can't fault that description. However, they are a scragging team, but the problem is the way that's officiated, right? If you call it one way, stay with that interpretation so they can adapt. His complaint was with the fact that the comment was made in the presser and the refs responded to that and enacted upon that rather than their own instinct. That was Modi's problem. So me and he, we're cool, I think. Okay. That's what I think. Report. I just wanted this report card on the NBL season. We kind of touched on it at the top. Is this an A-plus season? Is it a B season? Publicity-wise, just like, again, this is a growth league. What do you think?
It's interesting because it's had a better turnout, right? But then that's probably distorted because of COVID. You know, crowds have kind of returned. I don't think it's been as interesting. I mean, it was interesting in the sense of who's going to make the finals. That was a really good finish.
The play-in saved this season, half of it, yeah.
But besides that, I just felt like last year was way more interesting. You had the whole Della Vadova kind of thing. You had a few more storylines. Sydney chasing their title. I don't know, it's just, this season's kind of felt like you knew the outcome at the start.
Yeah, I also think the talent drop is quite extensive. And that's why I think the four top defensive teams have gone through, because people have honed in on that strategy where they've thought, okay, we can't really buy the offensive talent. We'll drag the game down. And some of the games have been average. Some have been great. And the funny thing is, Perth have been a fun team to watch when they catch fire. They have. Well, those manic big games, they were fun. And when Melbourne were looking good, the games for the play-in, man, I said it before, the play-in saved this season. That Perth-South East Melbourne game had drama and theatre. The Melbourne and who they beat? Adelaide. Mm. That had drama and theatre. And then 11 points. Oh, we need to get the score up. That was fantastic.
Yep.
And now we go into real defensive basketball. And people are going to say, oh, there's a biddy in that. And I'm sure there is. And you can hold it to your heart and enjoy it all you want. I don't enjoy it especially. And I think there's a lot of people who would prefer to see Melbourne and Sydney. And that's the other last question.
I've got one thought as well. But yeah, go on.
Actually more of a statement than a question, and if you agree with it. The league is better when Perth, Melbourne, and Sydney are in this thing. The league falls flat when those three teams aren't all good. There's a rivalry between Perth and Sydney, Perth and Melbourne, Melbourne. There's something there.
Yep.
The rest are in orbit of those three. That's gonna sound horrible. People are gonna hate that. And you throw Adelaide in the mix too, if they had a bit more gumption. And the fact that two of those teams were kind of mediocre, I think it took its toll on the league big time.
Yeah.
What was your question?
I think you're right. Yeah. My thought is for the NBL to take the next step in terms of making, I think, the telecast more interesting. Mm-hmm. I want to see more differentiation in the telecast style from venue to venue.
Yeah, right.
At the moment, they may as well be almost playing at a neutral venue each time from a television.
ChatGPT commentary.
Yeah.
They're good. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting.
But yeah, you're right. It's the same commentators saying the same stuff over and over again. Exact same format every single time. Same logos on the court. Same one team wearing a colour, the other team wearing white. Like it gets very monotonous.
Hmm.
I want to see more flavor and local sense of, like, we're in Perth, so we're going to have, you know, I don't know, Lockie Reed. And then we're in Cairns, we're going to go back to Camp Tregar with these crazy tropical sort of stuff. It just needs to be
Hammer
more.
In Sydney. That's off color. Sorry.
It's not just people. It's just the presentation style, the approach to the game. They've They've optimized it for efficiency, but it gets boring.
Mm. There you go. Yeah. I mean, I actually respect all those guys and what they do. I think they commentate it quite well. So I think you're off the ledge there. No, but they did. But, you know, there's cost benefit, cost versus benefit. They're all in the same room. It's worked well. Remember when the broadcast first moved to this style? And it was dreadful.
It was terrible. It's much better now.
And now they've really, it has improved. So that's a positive tip.
But if I tell you what, if I hear one more story about how Andrew Gaze used to cherry pick and Leonard Copeland would never pass the ball, like if I have to hear that one more time,
I'll scream.
Yeah, I will.
You'll hear it from across the country. The other thing I'll say as well is this is something that's a sort of a seed that needs to grow here. And Gaze showed himself to be such a character at the awards and in commentary all the time. Who is the player? You know, Gaze is not going to live forever.
Yep.
Who's the player who's being groomed as his successor? Basketball's been very much Gaze Inc. in this country for a long time. What happens when he just goes, you know what? I just want to play golf. I don't want to do it. I just want to do the Olympics every 4 years, and that's me. Who is the next person? You say Liam and that, and I agree with those. Those guys are good, but I mean, this is Andrew Gaze. He's the best. He was the captain of the Olympic team.
Yep.
We don't have that next guy who's got the chops and media on screen. So that's my greatest concern. What happens when he's not as big a part of it as he is?
Mm, interesting. That's
what you'll see.
Tough challenge.
All right, everybody. Thanks very much, everyone. And as much as we're not particularly optimistic about the games, we hope you are, and buy tickets and engage on socials and whatever else. Oh, I do want to pump because we've done a bit of dumping. I want to say it's Darren Barker put together this little highlight reel of a wrap of the season. It was about 2-3 minutes long. The polish, I'm going to really toot the horn, the polish of the guys at NBL socials, the in-plays, all that sort of stuff. You talk about the broadcast is difficult, it's more expensive, but the stuff they do on socials is effing terrific. It is as good as anywhere on the planet. I think I'm not just saying that to kiss ass. I really mean it. I admire the work they do. And that one in particular, I want to say from Darren, I hope I'm getting the right one there, but it was fantastic. So there you go.
Top work, Darren. Well done.
All right, everyone. You want the last word or just end it?
Just end it.